Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and today I'm joined by a member of our church, Rob Gilmer. Rob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Grayson. Thank you for having me in today.
Rob, it's good to have you, and I have Rob in today to share about his testimony, about what God's doing in his life, what God's done in his life, and whatever Rob wants to share in relations to his testimony. Maybe just start out, Rob, talking about where you're from and how you grew up.
Well, Grayson, I was born in Harrisonburg. Lived in Harrisonburg since 1974, but before that point, I lived in 8 different places. My family moved around a lot. It's part of my dad's career. So I grew up in a working class family. My parents started out very meagerly, and through hard work and sacrifice, they were able to establish some financial success. But also, I did not grow up in a Christian home. As a child growing up, we did go to church for a short period of time. I think my family was trying to do the right thing in their mind. And we attended, I was about 8 or 9 years old, and we attended a church in Virginia Beach where we lived. And I normally would be in children's church, but for some reason that Sunday I was up with the adults and there was a sermon. And the sermon was from John 1:46a. That's when Philip is introducing the Messiah to Nathanael. That Philip had just met with the Messiah, Jesus, and Jesus called him to be a follower. And Philip is talking to Nathanael and said, this is the Messiah, the one that was written about in the prophets and Moses. And Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And you have to understand, I was about 8 or 9 years old. Never exposed to any Christian education, church, or anything. But I carried that little bit of scripture in my mind from 9 years old until age 55 and beyond. And at age 55, I accepted Christ as my Savior.
Talk a little bit about what led to you coming to Christ at age 55. Maybe if there's some experiences in the past, or maybe it had something to do with, like you said, the little bit of church experience that you had as a kid. But what led to you ultimately coming to Christ when you were 55?
Well, another time in my life, I was a college sophomore. I attended James Madison University, and at that point in my life, I wanted a lifestyle. I had a lifestyle of drugs, alcohol, sin, and it was my desire to live in the wildest dorm, the wildest area on campus, and I was successful in that. You know, most of us may have seen the movie Animal House with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. Well, that was a lifestyle that I led, and after one Saturday night, and we had a pretty wild keg party, I was lying in bed, must have been about 8 o'clock Sunday morning. I'd been asleep maybe an hour or two, and there was a knock on the door. And there was a group of evangelists. They were campus crusaders. And I was the only one awake at that moment. There were two other guys in the dorm room with me. And they asked the question, do you know the meaning of life? And I can be a jokester at times, and I said, yeah, the meaning of life is probably about another 4 or 5 hours sleep. But they persisted, and I let them in, and they began to share scripture with me and painted a picture of where I was. I was on this drawbridge, and I'd gotten to the point where the bridge hadn't met, and I needed to jump over to the other side. Well, I wasn't ready to jump over. So I asked them to, well, okay, fine, guys, I've had enough, go on. But still, you know, that was, 35 years ago, and that was another bit, a seed that was sown, the meaning of life. Of course, we know that Jesus is the meaning of life. So I was thankful that these campus crusaders took their time to go out to the wildest dorm on campus to try to harvest souls.
And I don't think that's coincidence, Rob. I think that God put those people in your dorm room for a reason. And even though it might have taken years for that seed to take root or to sprout, certainly he planted that seed in your mind. But if there's any other experiences that led to your conversion when you were 55 or the decision to accept Christ into your life.
Yes. 12 years ago, my wife had emergency brain surgery. She had a cyst in her brain, and she was flown over to Charlottesville. And, of course, you can imagine the tension and the worry. And so the night before the surgery, I'm in the hotel room by myself, and I wasn't a Christian then, and I needed some comfort. So I reached over nightstand, and of course, there's the Gideon Bible, and I start thumbing through the Bible. And I didn't know much about the Bible, and I came upon Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I read that thing over and over again. And it gave me comfort, comfort enough where I was relaxed and I had hope and everything would be okay. Well, I went to bed, got up the next day. Her surgery was successful. She came home. And, you know, that brush with God passed and I got back into my life. And I'm a business owner. I've ran a small business for 25 years now. And my father and an uncle and my mother started it in 1974, and I've been running it for, like I said, 25 years. And my life at that point was about things, stuff. And I had a lot of stuff. I mean, I went on trips all the time. I bought a new car every year. I had a lot of toys, a lot of gadgets. I know when my wife and I went away on vacation, as soon as we got through, I would immediately start talking about the next trip. And that was certainly a sign that I was unhappy with my life. Also, I was a heavy drinker. I was, in essence, a functioning alcoholic. So, that was my lifestyle, consumption, denial, trying to numb the pain in my life with alcohol. And at age 50, I was given the gift of type 2 diabetes. And I call it a gift because you'll see in a minute what it led to. So I had to change my lifestyle. I had to stop drinking. And that's what I did. And I needed to get exercise. So I started to work out, but then I wanted to increase my exercise, and I hired a trainer over at the Valley Wellness Center, and I'll just call him Wes. And so I show up, Wes and I start working out, and lo and behold, Wes is a Christian. And over time, he starts to witness. And he would not bring up Christ, the Bible, until I asked. And over time, I began to ask and ask questions. He would answer, and that would be the end. He would always wait for me. And, oh gosh, that went on for several years, and then I had an injury. I hurt my shoulder, so I hired a physical therapist, a massage therapist. And so she began to work on my shoulder every week, or most weeks, and we developed a relationship, and I didn't know it at the time, but she was a Christian also. So you can see the course charted by God, the steps. You know, he used my diabetes to get my body clean. He used it to put me in with Christians who began to witness to me. And so this lady began to witness to me in what we call presence evangelism. She didn't say a lot, but her kindness. And you know, when I was around her, I could sense something peaceful and powerful. And not only me, but everyone else who knew her sensed that there was something about her that wanted everyone to be close to her. So, my friend's witnessing to me in the gym, and the massage therapist is witnessing to me almost once a week. And then I get a text from her, or excuse me, an email from her. It was a group email where she had contracted a serious cancer. And she asked me to pray for her. Not only me, but everyone on the email. And, you know, I had never prayed before for anybody other than I prayed for my wife that night before her surgery, but not continuously. So, you know, I said, well, okay, how do we pray? Well, I knew enough that, well, maybe I should pray at night before I go to bed. So I would be by the bedside and pray, and I would pray for God to heal her. And I made that prayer for several weeks. And then I made the prayer, you know, give the surgeon skill beyond what he has and give the family peace, because she was a mother of five children. And I made that prayer over and over again, my friends witnessing to me. And then one night I prayed for myself, and I asked God, asked Jesus to come into my heart that I wanted to believe. And of course at that point I had intellectual faith. And at that point, I realized that my life was insufficient, that there was something more than just myself. So in the moment of desperation, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I made that prayer night after night. And about that time, my friend, the trainer, invites me to church. And so I drive up to church. It was Harrisonburg Free Will Baptist, Pastor Paul Collins. And my buddy's right out front waiting for me. And as soon as I get out of the car, he runs to me and leads me into the church. And I sit through the service, and I hadn't been in a church service. I couldn't remember the last time. And, you know, I sit through the service, and I'm listening, and, you know, I got through the service, and it's like, yeah, that was nice. I enjoyed that. But that was it. And my time hadn't come yet. That divine appointment hadn't been set, or had been set, but it was in the future. So on my way out, it's a small church. They have a little credenza by the exit, and there's a notebook, prayer requests. And you know how you might, like, if you see your name on a piece of paper, your eyes might be drawn to it. I looked down, and on this notebook, third name, Rob Gilmer, salvation. And, you know, to tell you where I was, at that point I saw that. I'm like, wow, what gives these people the right to interfere in my life? And of course, you know, that's the very worldly view that, you know, we're in control of our own life and, you know, don't bother me, I'm in control. But, you know, thank God that these people had been praying for me for 2 years before I showed up at the church that day. So, more about that later. So, anyway, I couldn't go back for a couple weeks because my wife and I had weekend plans. So, I come back again, and the service was more vibrant. I really felt like something was going on. And at the end of the service, there was an altar call. And, you know, I was very emotional at that moment. And I was thinking, well, maybe I should go up, maybe I shouldn't go up. I never felt like this before, but I was in turmoil. It was like I was being pulled in two directions at the same time. And of course, I literally was between heaven and hell. And I told myself, I said, this is not an emotional decision. This has to be a true thing. So I let the moment pass. And I was in turmoil. And I saw my friend, the trainer, a couple days later. I'm still praying for my sick massage therapist, praying for her and asking Jesus to come into my life. And, you know, we have a discussion, and my friend says, you know, Rob, maybe the time wasn't that moment. Maybe it's coming. But there is a time coming. And so, you know, we worked out. That was Tuesday. It was the previous Sunday. I almost went to the altar. Tuesday night, I go home, go to bed, still kind of worked up. And I have a pretty vivid dream life, and quite often, because I've run a business for years, a lot of things going on in the brain, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and think about an issue at work or in life and try to come up with a solution, and sometimes the best thoughts come in the middle of the night. Mind is clear. But anyway, I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I don't think about business. I think about, you know, God, eternity, my place, what's my life about. And you have to understand that at that time I was in despair. My life was about totally me, 100%. Sin. But I had realized that, you know, that this life couldn't go on, that there was something greater than me. So I thought and I thought and I thought, and I fell back to sleep. And then I have this dream. And in this dream, I am kneeling, and there's powerful multicolored light streaming over me. And I can sense this looming presence above me. And I hear this gentle voice calling me. And, you know, I'm dreaming this. And it's very vivid. And this calm, quiet voice is saying, come, come, come. And I wake up. I don't know how long I was in that dream. You know, who knows these things. But it was very early in the morning. And I wake up and I feel completely different. It's hard to explain, but I was reborn at that moment and completely different. I had joy, I had peace, things I've never experienced. And at that moment, too, I had a burning love for Jesus. You know, my whole life, I had been looking for him. And I called out to him, and when I got to my moment of despair, my moment of desperation, when I knew that my life couldn't go on like it was, and I needed something greater, I needed Jesus, I reached out to him, and he was there for me. He's faithful.
Well, that's neat, Rob, about how he takes just every day ordinary situations, like working out at the gym and encountering a trainer who knows Christ, who doesn't push Christianity on you, but, you know, is just kind of available to answer mm-hmm. questions when you have them about Christianity, and also a massage therapist who has a desperate situation, who has a sickness that is just asking for something as simple as prayer, but very powerful, and something that caused you to have to start praying. And I believe that through those situations and going to church, and over time, God was able to reveal himself through these two people, but also using a dream at night, like you said, when you have some of your best thoughts or when your mind's the clearest. Just really neat. And I know as you were talking about that dream, I was thinking about how my grandfather, also God came to him in a dream, and when he was on the boat and felt like he needed to kneel down in the bunk that night and ask Christ to come in his life, and how things feel a lot different when you've asked Christ to come in your life or when you've had an experience or an encounter with God. Anything else that you'd like to share about your testimony or about what God's doing in your life right now or whatever is on your mind, Rob, or on your heart?
Well, you know, that the dream, you know, I've replayed that in my mind pretty much almost every day. And, you know, you can psychoanalyze it if you want to go that route. You know, was I just working out something in the self-conscious, working out some type of turmoil? Was it the presence of the Holy Spirit? You know, those things, I mean, I believe that it was the presence of the Holy Spirit. But no matter what, the whole thing boils down to this. In that moment of need, Jesus asked me to come and follow him, and I did. And it's made all the difference in my life, that as I lead it to now, and eternally it makes all the difference. And let me talk about the massage therapist and what happened in that situation, her illness. She had a severe, aggressive form of cancer, and she ended up dying. I was saved on September 17th, and she ended up dying on Christmas Day of that year. And there was a funeral service for her the next week, and I was at the service, and it was packed. It was unbelievable. You know, it was just so many people there. And it was hard to really grab a hold of an idea of how many people her life touched, a wide variety of folks. So my wife and I were walking around, socializing, and just being in that moment. And I overhear this conversation. And you know, when we overhear something, there's usually a purpose in that. There's some message that we need to take note of. But anyway, I hear this couple talking, and they're saying, her name was Laura. I said, Laura was such a wonderful woman, beautiful, light. She left 5 children. What good comes from that type of death? What good can come from that? And, you know, immediately I was struck with, well, you know, I don't know what the overall good of something like that is, but because of her cancer and her condition and the fact that she was a Christian and in heaven, she asked me to pray for her when I needed to pray to open up that channel with God. So I guess the point is that, you know, terrible things happen. You know, death, every day we know someone this time of year, it seems like, that passes, and it's tragic. But perhaps there's some good, you know, that impacts someone's life. So that was a thought that really stuck with me because it was very personal, very personal.
Yeah, Rob, certainly the Bible says God's ways are better than our ways and greater than our ways. And certainly we're just looking at here on earth. But if you look to eternity, like you said, that woman was a Christian, and ultimately her sickness, her cancer, led to you coming to Christ, praying for her, and then praying for yourself. Talk about what God's doing in your life right now. I know you're very active in the church, and God's doing a lot in your life.
Well, I'm very involved with a ministry. We're about ready to celebrate our first year. It's called Celebrate Recovery. It's a 12-step biblical-based 12-step program for hurts, habits, and hang-ups. So it covers the gamut from addictions to codependency issues. And if we look into our lives honestly, we can probably pick out some things that fall under that category. And it is a 12-step program, but Jesus is our higher power. It's an organized program. Rick Warren, Saddleback Church, this program has been going on for 20-couple years now. There have been literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that have achieved freedom from their hurt, habit, and hang-up. It's in thousands of churches in this country and thousands of churches internationally. We have a faithful group of volunteers and leaders and a faithful group of people that come every week. It's every Monday night, 6:30. And there's an hour worship service with a message or testimony. And then we break up into open share groups. They're small groups where we dive into what our issues are, the reason why we're there. And I got involved in this program because of ministry. You know, I have a history of addiction. I've had one addiction after another since I've been 15 years old. And once Jesus became my Lord and Savior, he broke the chain of addictions. And I had some addictions before I was saved. But he filled my heart with his love and gave me what I was searching for and using my addictions to cover up. He gave me what I needed. So I had a history of addictions. I'd been through 12-step, secular 12-step programs, treatment programs, counseling. So I had a lot of personal experience, and I also knew personally that Jesus is the answer. Of course, he's the answer to every question, but I know him being the great healer, that he could bring peace and recovery to people who sought him. So I get involved in it. We were training. There, some of our pastors were right alongside going through the same training. And lo and behold, I begin to receive healing from the program, which I never considered that as part of my involvement. I thought it was strictly as a helper, a guide. So, like I said, we meet every Monday night. It's been a beautiful thing. We have people coming into the program who have deep hurts, and they're beginning to find freedom and peace. We've had people come to know the Lord through the program. So we're very excited. We're very excited and hopeful about the future because, you know, all these things that we may have in our life, an addiction, a codependency issue, all these things can be roadblocks that keep us from having a deeper relationship with Jesus.
Well, Rob, it's exciting to hear what God's doing in your life right now and how he's using you to be a witness and to be an example to those through Celebrate Recovery that are maybe struggling with or have struggled with the same things that you struggled with before you came to Christ. Thanks for joining me today. And anything else in closing that you'd like to share that you haven't mentioned already?
Well, yes. Like I mentioned earlier, I came to Christ at age 55. And you know, probably someone out there, certainly family members have brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers. Just because they may be older in years and they don't know the Lord, don't give up on them. Don't ever give up on them, because the Lord, he has a plan for all of us.
Certainly true, Rob, and certainly something that's easier said than done, but certainly through something as simple as prayer, which you learned, just never giving up in prayer on those people and trusting God to reveal himself to those people through other Christians they might come in contact with. I'm just going to close in prayer for you. I'll also pray for Celebrate Recovery in that ministry as you're a part of that. Lord, we come before you today, and I just thank you for Rob Gilmer's life and his testimony and what you're doing through his life and how you're using his life to be an example and a witness to those around him, Lord. I pray that you continue to do that, Lord, and I pray for the ministry of Celebrate Recovery that he's involved in and the people that come to that, Lord, and that you continue to use him in that way. And I pray for the people that are in his life, Lord, that he will continue to be an example and a witness to those that he comes in contact with in his everyday life, just as you used people in his life as an example for him and caused him to come to Christ through their witness, that you'll do the same in his life, Lord. And I pray a blessing over him and ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Grayson.
Thank you, Rob. Once again, you've been listening to Rob Gilmer's testimony. May God bless.